Hi there, this is John from the FreeGiftFromGod.com podcast. Today I'm continuing on with the Salvation Road journey that I've been discussing now for some time. And we're still working in this area of walking with Jesus. And what I want to look at today is the matter of knowledge. The objective today is to understand the need to gain the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the New Covenant, to learn how knowledge helps us as we walk and grow as Christians, and to be wary that we do not allow knowledge to make us arrogant or prideful. In overview, knowledge is important for the growth of all Christians. There is much that is taught today that is called knowledge but is false. This lesson is a brief look at the need to find and accept the truth so that we can grow. Knowledge can increase our faith and bring us to maturity. It's necessary to know the truth so we can stand mature and fight the good fight of the faith. So the first scripture I want to look at is in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. And then I want to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 76 and 79. So Proverbs: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And in Luke it says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So it's important for all Christians to learn the knowledge of God and the salvation he has wrought in Jesus Christ. In these two verses, we see two beginnings, both of which point to the knowledge we need and how to approach it. First, in Proverbs, King Solomon warns that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. It's when we give God the respect, the reverence, and indeed fear that he deserves, knowing that he is the Almighty and we're his creation, that we can even begin to learn. We must have the right perspective for the knowledge of God and his teachings as the truth. And then we see that the purpose, or one of them, for the coming of Jesus Christ was to teach us the knowledge of God. The work of John the Baptist was being described in this prophecy at his birth, and his work was to give knowledge of salvation to the people of the Lord. And John was to bear witness to Christ that he was the Christ, and to listen to Jesus to receive the knowledge of God. In Romans 10, verses 13 and 17, we find these words: for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. Now we know that all of the things of God, all of the promises of salvation, freedom, righteousness and so on, are based upon a foundation of faith. The disciples knew this and they asked Christ, saying, increase our faith. And you can see that over in Luke chapter 17 verse 5. But how do you increase your faith? How is it possible to have more faith or to believe more strongly? The answer is found in this scripture. We see here in Romans 10 verse 17 that faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. It's knowledge he's speaking of here. As we hear, we learn, and as we learn, we grow in faith. This is why knowledge is so important, for through it we can grow stronger in the faith. And there is more. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 10, we find these words: his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world, because of passion, and become partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election, for if you do this, you'll never fall. All of the power that pertains to godliness has been granted to us by God through the knowledge of salvation we have in Jesus Christ. We have been given life in abundance because we believe in Christ Jesus and have learned what we need to know to walk in him. And again, we see the connection between faith and knowledge in these scriptures. We are to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. And that's in verses 5 and 6. Faith is about what we believe. That is, we believed we are saved through the death of Christ Jesus from sin and death, and we are set free from sin and the law to serve in the new life of the Spirit. Now, because we are saved from sin, our aim is to please God by being virtuous. By virtue, we act and behave in a manner that pleases God and not in the way we lived before we came to Christ. And to increase in both faith and virtue, we need to learn the knowledge of God so we understand what is pleasing to him. Knowledge is critical to our growth and also for the battle that we have against sin and the devil. For it's through knowledge of the truth we learn, and we learn how to stand. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 to 7, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labours, watching, hunger, by purity, knowledge, forbearance, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Look here at how Paul describes the ways in which we overcome the problems and attacks that are thrown against us as Christians. Does he say we take up arms and shoot our enemies? No, nor do we sulk or feel sorry for ourselves when we are under attack. Instead, we fight back using the weapons of the Holy Spirit and the power that God gives us. We fight back by purity, knowledge, truthful speech, and the power of God. And we understand these things and how to apply them through the knowledge we gain as we walk and learn the ways of God through Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who teaches us from day to day how to deal with all of our issues, for it is the work of the Holy Spirit through training and knowledge to bring us to maturity. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, we see these words. Come to your right mind and sin no more, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. And this is a problem so often seen in the church today. There are too many people who have no knowledge of God or the things of God. Too many do not understand the working of the new covenant and the freedoms God freely gives those who come to him. Jesus said, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, in Matthew 7, 7. This is a promise he has given all of us. When we ask, seek or knock for the knowledge of the truth, he will give it to us. We will receive the knowledge of God and not what is often taught in some churches today, which is a false knowledge that bears no semblance with the truth of the new covenant. Knowledge is important so that we may grow in faith and know God, but it must be the knowledge of the truth. And one of the big challenges that we have today is that there are not enough people who actually read the Bible. In fact, there was a survey done some time ago by the Barna Group that said that up to 50% of Christians read the Bible less than once a month. And there were 12% of those who were surveyed that had never read the Bible at all. Now, if they're Christians, I don't know how you can be a Christian and not read the Bible. But even so, for those who do read the Bible, it sounds as though they perhaps just take the Bible to church with them, and you know, maybe they open it, maybe they don't. And I've actually been to church services where the Bible's never even opened. They preach from all kinds of other books, but not the Bible. And the Bible is the source of the truth that we have. That's where we find the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's where we find the knowledge of the gospel of salvation. And that's where we find the knowledge of the new covenant and how it all works. And we need to learn it, we need to study it, and we need to be so immersed in it that it's part of us so that the Holy Spirit can use that, because the Word of God and the knowledge of the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit that he uses to fight against the devil and the attacks of the devil. In Luke 11, 45 to 52, we see these words. One of the lawyers answered him, Teacher, in saying this, you reproach us also. And he said, Woe to you lawyers also, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses and consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, that the blood of the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering. Now, here is a problem that we see also today. In Jesus' day, it was the lawyers who taught the law and interpreted it for the people. But as we see here, Jesus was not at all happy with what they were doing, for they bound the people up in the laws, making it hard, if not impossible, for them to keep the law, and brought the people into condemnation. And worse, they didn't even try to help the people become released from this burden. They kept them burdened to keep them in the power of the lawyers and the temple authorities. Is it any different today? How many churches bind their congregations up in laws and commandments and ordinances that are not part of the new covenant so as to keep them under control and under power? How many insist on confession or on tithing and so bind people to themselves or to the church? Jesus came to set you free, not to tie you up in slavery and bondage. When you learn the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ and the new covenant, you learn that he has truly set you free. In 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 3, we see these words. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if one loves God, one is known by him. Now, like many things, we must be careful. Anything can be taken to extremes and become harmful, and knowledge is no exception. Too many people, when they have gained knowledge about one topic or another to the point they could be considered experts in their field, become puffed up. They become proud and arrogant, thinking they are better than others. And knowledge of the Bible and the workings of the covenant is no different. We must be careful as we grow in knowledge, not to lord it over those who do not yet know what we know. It is the duty of those who know to teach those who have yet to learn. It is a humbling thing too, because those who have knowledge and thus are or should be teaching others will be judged more strictly, as James tells us in James chapter 3, verses 1. Instead, let's put these things into perspective and learn humility as we grow in Christ and help others to learn for their benefit, not to bolster our own pride and ego. In Matthew 7, verses 21 to 29, we see these words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. This shows us how important knowledge is, especially the knowledge and application of the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us that there will be many who come before him on judgment day, believing they are good people and even good Christians, but who will be rejected. They will claim many things they have done in his name, but Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. In verse 23 there. What did they do wrong? They heard his words but didn't act on them. They did not build the foundation of faith based on the knowledge of the truth he taught, and so they collapsed. They ignored the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his teachings and so suffered the consequences. They rejected his words and so he rejected them. In the end, it is even more important that Jesus knows you than that you know Jesus. For if he does not know you, you will not receive his salvation. In Colossians chapter 3 verses 9 to 10, we see this. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. The power of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the way it is working within us is the power of regeneration. We come to Christ to reject our old way of life and in repentance to turn around and learn to live in accordance with the will of God. And God gives us the Holy Spirit to work the transformation of our nature to become as Christ is, which is perfect. This is what we are doing. putting off the old evil nature with all of its practices and putting on the nature of Jesus Christ. And the nature of Christ being formed within us is being renewed daily through knowledge. If ever there was any reason to seek the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's this, so that we may learn through his knowledge how to be like him and to be acceptable to God the Father. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 14, we see these words. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful wiles. This is why God gave gifts to the church. It's why he appointed people to be apostles, teachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets, and so on, so that we could learn the knowledge of God that leads to salvation in Jesus Christ. It's this knowledge of Christ that is bringing all who follow him to maturity in Christ. We are being moulded and transformed into the image of Christ by the working of the Holy Spirit. And why does he want us to be mature? So that we can fight the good fight against the evil, and so that we can stand mature and strong against the deceitful wiles of the devil, and so that we'll know the doctrines of truth that will preserve us on the day of testing, and so that we will receive the full salvation of the Lord on the day when he returns to collect his people. So here's a couple of questions to think about. Do you blindly accept whatever another person tells you without checking if it's true? Do you realise there are some things taught in the church today that are false and destructive for Christians? Do you recall Jesus told us to ask and it will be given? These are important questions. Call to action. Consider some of the things you currently believe to be the truth and answer this question. Do these things set you free or bring you into bondage? If they do not set you free but are a form of bondage, are they really of the truth, and is the knowledge that you hold aligned with the truth of salvation, remembering, of course, that Jesus Christ came to set you free, and he has set you free truly and completely. Secondly, seek the Lord and ask him to open your mind to gain the knowledge of the truth that leads to his salvation, and to make you aware of any fallacies or any lies or any untruths in what you may believe currently. As a prayer point, spend a few moments in prayer now to ask the Lord to open your eyes to the fullness of the truth. Ask him to bring you to teachers and ministers who can help you find the truth and assist you in your growth into maturity in him. Now that's it for this session on knowledge. In the next session, we're going to look briefly overall at the armour of God. That will be what we're going to look at. It's going to build on this need for knowledge as we go into and try and understand what the armour of God is all about. So until next time, this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast signing off, and I hope you have a blessed week, and I'll see you next week.